Please open your Bibles to Exodus 40. Ron, I've been where you have been before. That's why I don't use an iPad to preach from. I understand. That's all right, though. This morning we're going to wrap up our look at the life of Moses through the book of Exodus. There's still more to Moses' life that you can dig into, and I hope you'll do that, but we're going to wrap up our study of Exodus this morning, and I wanted to cover chapters 21 to 40, and so everybody bring a lunch. Ron sent me a text about the bullet. He said, "Did you really mean 21 to 40?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I might bring some slippers." I said, "Okay." Chapters 21 to 40 are all about building the tabernacle, constructing the place of worship and gathering the worshipers of God together. And for us, it can be a little tedious because there's all these meticulous instructions about building and materials and measurements, and it's not the most thrilling. So really what I want to do this morning is step back and try to get the big picture. Because when we understand the big picture, it should thrill our hearts. We're going to read just a few verses from Exodus 40 because it really does summarize what this latter half of Exodus is about. Would you stand together? We'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read 1 to 8 and then we'll skip down to verse 33. Exodus 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the Ark of the Covenant in it and shield the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard." And then go down to verse 33. "Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels." Our Father, we're thankful that you have given to us your word. May it help us to understand who you are. Help us to hear the call to worship you. And may we become true worshipers today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The book of Exodus is about God establishing a new people. He'd made a covenant with Abraham and said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." And Exodus is the fulfillment of that promise to make a nation of Abraham's descendants. He drew the Israelites from bondage in Egypt. He set them free. He called them and he led them to the mountain where he gave them the Ten Commandments, their constitution, that explained to them who God was and who they were to be, and the way that they ought to live their lives. It established their social order, and it set the pattern of worship for them. In Exodus 21 to 40, God gave many rules and regulations for the construction of the tabernacle and the procedures of worship in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the sign of God's presence among the people. I've got an artistic rendition here. You see the tabernacle there, and the tabernacle itself is the tent toward the back. The courtyard is fenced in by the curtain, and this is where the worshipers would gather. And it's kind of hard to see in this picture at a distance, but all that stuff around it, that's actually the nation camping around the tabernacle. When they were settled in a place, the tabernacle would be at the center of the nation. And so every morning when the Israelites would wake up and they would come out of their tent, the first thing they would see is they would see the tabernacle, the dwelling of God in their midst. They would see the cloud that represented the glory of God. And they would be reminded that they were God's people. He was in their midst, and He was the one that they were following. He would provide for them and take care of them. God gave them very specific instructions, precise measurements, particular materials to construct the tabernacle. And there were three key areas, and here's a little chart. There's the outer court, the part where the curtain goes around the tabernacle. This is where the people of God would enter and they would offer sacrifices to the Lord. They would worship and pray. It was surrounded by this curtain wall. It was about 150 feet long, 75 feet wide. And then there's the tabernacle itself, the tent. It was 45 feet wide, or 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. And it was divided into two parts. There was the holy place. The priests would enter in daily, and they would perform their priestly duties there in the holy place. And then the heart of the tabernacle was the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. And only once a year would the high priest enter the most holy place to sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant as a sign of atonement for the sins of the people. The tabernacle inspired awe and invited reverent worship. In Exodus 40, 34, the cloud, we're told, covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It was the place on earth where people perceived the manifest presence of God. Now, we understand God is not limited to physical time and space. God is eternal and infinite. There is nowhere you and I can go, no period of time where you and I can exist, where God is not. God is at all places, at all times, among all people. But God manifests His presence in a special way, in a particular way, among the Israelites here at the tabernacle. It is the physical manifestation of the presence of God. And as the Israelites camped around the tabernacle, they were reminded every day they were to be God's people and worship and serve Him alone. The components of the tabernacle teach us much about what it means to worship God and to be His people. As you enter the outer court of the tabernacle, you would enter from the east. The entrance would face to the east. The first thing that you would encounter is the bronze altar, the altar of sacrifice. This is where the offerings were made every day, and many offerings, many gifts were made. Sin offerings and fellowship offerings were burnt to the Lord. Only the best, only what was prescribed was allowed to come here. The altar was a reminder to the people of their sin. It was a daily reminder of their need for a sacrifice. Hebrews 10:11 says, day after day, a priest stood and performed his religious duties. Again and again, he offered the same sacrifices. The people would hear the bleating of the sheep. They would see the goats being led for the slaughter. And it was a reminder to them of their sinfulness. But it was also a reminder of the grace and mercy of God, that He would not call them to account for their sins, but offer a substitute in their place. Hebrews 10:11 says that those sacrifices could never take away sins. Those sacrifices were kind of like when you write a check. A check is only a piece of paper that promises funds will be exchanged, that money will be transferred from one party to another. If there are no funds, you can write all the checks you want, and it will do you no good. In fact, it'll get you into big trouble. Those sacrifices that were offered day by day, they were like checks that were being written, not by the Israelites, but by God, saying, your sins will be dealt with. Your penalty will be paid. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. This bronze altar reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ. And in Hebrews 10:12, we're told that when Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. And Hebrews 7:27 says, Jesus does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when He offered Himself. Jesus is the sacrifice for us. Friends, if you're going to come to God, if you're going to enter into His presence, the first thing that must be dealt with is your sin. And that comes only through your faith and trust in Jesus and the sacrifice He made. Moving further through the outer court, we come to this bronze basin or laver, this big bowl. One of the artistic renderings that I saw, it looked almost like a big bird bath. It was made of bronze. It sat there, and it was a place where the people would come and they would wash. They would become ceremonially clean. Their sins had been taken care of at the altar, but then afterwards they would go and they would wash, and it was a sign that they had been purified, that they had been cleansed in the sight of God. It symbolized their holiness and their purification. The old was washed away. The defilement of the world was removed. They were cleansed. They were purified for a new start. As Christians, we're reminded of baptism. We're reminded that baptism, it doesn't save us, but it's a picture, the sign that our sins have been washed away, that we're living a new life. 1 Peter 3:21 says that water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It's that picture that we are clean, that we have a new start. When we come into the presence of God, He washes away all our guilt, all our shame, all our defilement, and we begin again. We begin anew with Him. We now come to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle itself. As we pass through the entrance, where only the priests were allowed to go, we come to what is called the holy place. They would enter daily. They would come in and they would see three things. On the right, on the north side, they would see a table. On this table, there would be they would place fresh loaves of bread, 12 loaves every day. These 12 loaves symbolized God's provision for His people. It was a reminder that God would take care of the nation and provide for them. Friends, we understand that God will take care of us, that He'll meet every need that we have. This bread also symbolized the Word of God that meets our greatest needs. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This table of bread reminds us that we are a people formed and fed by the Word of God, by Scripture, the truth that comes to us from the Lord, and that we receive it daily, that it nourishes our souls. On the left side, the south side of the tent, was the golden lampstand. It would have 7 branches coming from it, and they would keep it lit all the time. It gave light to the tabernacle, but it reminded the people of the light and life that comes through God's Spirit and the life through the Son of God. In John 1:4, we're told that in Jesus was life, and His life was the light to all mankind. God reveals truth to us. He leads us. He illuminates what is true and right As we listen to Him, He opens our eyes and helps us to see truth. In front of you, if you were standing in the holy place, would be a small altar, smaller than the one outside. This is the altar of incense. No sacrifices were offered on this altar. It was reserved for specially formulated incense that would burn continually in the tabernacle. The formula was given in Exodus 30, and in Exodus 37, there was a warning given that if anyone made this incense other than priests, anyone who used it outside of tabernacle worship, they would be cut off from the nation. The incense was to be given up to the Lord, and it was a reminder, a symbol of prayer. The people would offer their prayers to the Lord, and we're told in Revelation 5:8 that the prayers of God's people are like golden bowls of incense being offered up to God. Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." We find in worship that as our sins are dealt with, as we're cleansed, we come into the presence of God, we're nourished by His Word, and then we offer our prayers to God. We commit ourselves to Him, and we're given the light of truth by the Lord. We come now to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. It's separated from the rest of the tabernacle with a heavy veil or a curtain. Only the high priest would enter this place, and only once a year. He would come in and he would bring blood from sacrifice. He would bring the blood and he would splatter blood on the Ark of the Covenant. This was to symbolize the atonement of the sins of the people. It was a demonstration that their sins were taken care of and God would not leave their presence. God's anger and vengeance against sin had been assuaged through the sacrifice. In this most holy place where the physical presence of God was manifest in fire and cloud, the Ark of the Covenant sat. The Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God. That point on earth where people understood God was touching earth. The ark was made of acacia wood. It was overlaid with gold. It was a box. And the stone tablets of the covenant were placed in it. The lid of the box was made of gold, and there were two angels that were hammered out, their wings extended. And they reached out, they covered the faces of those angels. The wings would touch, and it formed what would be called the mercy seat. This throne of God. Hebrews tells us that because of Christ, the veil of the temple has been torn in two. In fact, we're told in the Gospels that when Jesus died on the cross in the temple, the veil tore in two from top to bottom. It was ripped apart. That veil that separated the people from God, that place where only the priest, the high priest, could enter only once a year, it's been torn open. And now, because of Christ, you and I have access to. You and I, we're told in Hebrews 4, may come before God. We may come to the throne of grace to find mercy in our time of need. We enter to that holy place in the presence of God because our sins have been atoned for. We've been cleansed. We have received the light of truth. We have received His Word, the bread of truth. We have offered our prayers, and now we come into the presence of God. And we worship Him alone. This is the God that we worship. A gracious, merciful, and holy God who is kind and loving toward us, who sent His Son, Jesus, for us. The tabernacle is the place of worship, and He invites us to be His people. He offers us forgiveness for our sins. And He calls us to holiness. Friends, there's no more tabernacle in the physical sense. The tent is gone. The box, the Ark of the Covenant, has been lost to history. But we don't need it. We don't need that tent that the Israelites needed. We're told in John 1:14, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. And our English translation says, He made His dwelling among us. But that word, He made His dwelling among us, really is connected to the word for tabernacle. Jesus tabernacled among us. Jesus came into the center of our lives to forgive us of our sins, to make us holy, to invite us into communion with the Father. And that's what Christmas is about. Yeah, there's family and there's fun. There's songs that we like to sing and treats we love to enjoy, and there's presents to open. But it's really about Jesus coming into our world and inviting us into the presence of God. Are you a worshiper today? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you been cleansed? Are you being nourished by His Word? Is the Spirit illuminating your life as you listen to Him? As you seek Him, are you offering your prayers to God in devotion and worship? Do you dwell in the presence of God, communing with Him? I hope you're a worshiper today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy that allows us to come into Your presence. Thank You for being the God who dwells among Your people. Change us by Your grace to make us a holy people. And may we live as worshipers. May our lives revolve around You. When we wake up in the morning, may we seek Your face and Your glory. As we go through our days and as we fall into sin, may we be quick to repent and be cleansed once again. May we feast on Your Word. May our eyes be illuminated by Your Spirit, and may we offer our prayers in continual worship as we dwell in Your presence. Where You lead us, we will go. When You have us stay, we will wait patiently. May You be at the center of our lives. And Father, if there is one who is here today who is not part of Your people, may they be born again by grace through faith in Christ alone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.